right, this is Pure Decking, show number 484 for Thursday, June the 23rd, 1992. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and reminding you to stay inside. The weather is evil and trying to kill you.
At least that's why we invented air conditioning.
Yeah, really. Or if you're in our use part of the world, heaters.
Fucking freezing, dude.
So, wonder if Tack would be mad that we're sitting here playing a cow horn, or, you know, clown horn over that song. Of course, I've mangled it so much already.
I think it falls under, what is it?
No one cares is what it falls under.
Yeah, that's and you're changing true. It enough that not copyright.
Well, he gave me permission to use it years ago, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, forgive the mild cough if it comes through. I'm using, the best cough syrup known to man, you know, bourbon, but it's still.
Dude, I told you, huffing asbestos will not get you high. I don't care what 4chan says.
But I read it on DIY and everything.
Oh, you need to try the Bernie crystals, though. Those really work.
Bernie crystals?
Yeah, one part chlorine. And what's the other one? Another chemical. And you use a straw and you blow bubbles until it makes crystals.
Shitty method. Shitty meth. That's what you're saying to make is shitty meth.
No, no, you're essentially making...
you're making mustard gas blowing into it.
Yeah. You've not seen any of those?
I missed that one.
They generally go around during school holidays and stuff like that, and infographics and things, and you know, cheap ways to make crystals and have fun.
My God.
Can't guarantee anyone's died from this.
No, but I have seen images of chemical burns that have suggested that they did try it. There was a guy on K one night who made mustard gas in his bathtub and documented it, and then the blisters.
And then the blisters.
Oh yeah, dude, he got pretty badly burnt.
Well, yeah, you're making mustard gas. What did you think was going to happen?
And then there was the guy with the hand grenade, and taking suggestions on what to do with the hand grenade. Then about a week later, an article: a man was killed by a homemade hand grenade.
I the sad part is I know it's probably true. That's
yeah, dude, there's a whole thread devoted, like it's a whole infographic devoted to the thread that happened that night. Like the guy who sent the first frog into space. That's a great read.
Jeez.
I wonder how many bottle rockets that was.
No, it was quite a few helium balloons though. Very large.
Oh, that's terrible.
Hey, 4chan has a space agency, man. What can you say?
You know what? There it is. There it is.
Exactly.
First article I has from Bleeping Computer, and it Google's threat analysis group today revealed that RCS Labs, an Italian spyware vendor, has received help from some internet service providers to infect Android and iOS users in Italy and Kazakhstan with commercial surveillance tools. I mean, this it's not surprising, but it's kind of brazen that they're just going straight to the ISP and saying, yeah, install shit on their phones.
Yeah. That's where we're at.
It is. RCS Labs is just one of more than 30 spyware vendors whose activity is currently tracked by Google. According to Google Tag Analysis, Benoit Sevens and Clement Lessine. During attacks that used drive-by downloads to infect multiple victims, the targets were prompted to install malicious apps camouflaged as legitimate mobile carrier apps. To get back online after their internet connection was cut with the help of their ISP. I mean, that's not even slipstreaming it in. That's just, we're going to block your access to you and install our spy shit. Fuck you. Quote, in some cases, we believe the actors worked with the target's ISP to disable the target's mobile data connectivity, unquote, the report claims. Quote, once disabled, the attacker would send a malicious link via SMS asking the target to install an application to recover their data connectivity, unquote. If they couldn't directly work with the target's ISP, the attackers would disguise the malicious apps as messaging applications. They then pushed them using a made-up support page that claimed to help the potential victims recover their Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp suspended accounts. Oh, I've seen those emails. I don't know about you guys, but I dig into my spam folders every once in a while looking for something interesting. It's like, oh, is there a form in here I can write a Python script to fuck with them? No? Well, delete. Half the time their shit doesn't work, so it's just like, well. I'm always disappointed when the scammer's shit doesn't work because then I can't mess with it.
I can't remember the last time I looked in my email box.
So.
I treat email like a mobile phone.
It's probably a good one.
You always have it up and ready to respond instantaneously? Oh, wait a minute. You're not a 15-year-old girl.
There you go. Oh, it's just another useless fucking thing in your life. You want to get hold of me? Send me a fucking snail mail. Then I'll read it.
That does almost guarantee that it's worth these days looking at. I say almost because I still get junk mail, but there's very little of it. They're more and more going digital because it's free, effectively.
Can we trade? Because I get an amazing amount of junk mail.
I don't get any junk mail anymore.
Oh, wait, I know what the difference is. I'm not going to say that one out because it could be interpreted multiple ways, but no, I
actively stay off mailing lists.
I bought a house.
Oh, yeah, that got you added to a few for at least the next year and a half.
Yeah,
because most of the junk mail I get is, you know, some kind of loan scam. The really fun ones are the, you know, sell us your house. We'll make 30 payments of $1,000 or something like that. It's like, what? No. Fuck you. Some of these are really comical. You get some of them that are like outrageous. Some of them are serious, but some of them are really, really bad. Like I took one just because I was curious and did the math on it. And it was an effective interest rate of like 76%. And it's just like, wow, and you know people fall for this stuff. So, although the one that gets me the most is we've got this water filter company that is operating out of this area, and they do so much shady bullshit trying to get you in so that they can send you stuff. They leave missed delivery cards in your mailbox. And it looks like it's a FedEx card or a USPS card, except the phone number is to them. And they'll say that so if you call to see what you missed, they'll try to send you a water filter so they can bill you for it. The other thing they do is go around claiming to be from the city saying, oh, we're doing water testing. Please fill up this water vial and fill out this information card. Then they send fake Amazon cards saying, we're doing surveys. They're basically doing anything they can to get you to do the whole minimum, you know, establishment of a business relationship so they can just call you constantly until you either, you know, threaten to sue them, which is apparently what somebody did to get them to go away, or, you know, sign up with their service, which is some insanely expensive water filter thing, so.
You should only buy water filters from the original.
Oh, Alex Jones?
Exactly.
I try to only buy water filters from him.
Uh-huh. I mean,
so far I've successfully. Nope, I bought them from one other place.
I mean, if you drink water that's been filtered with those filters, you'll be as sane and understandable as Alex himself.
Uh huh.
That's what I believe.
So. Me too. Oh man, he's been over 10% right in the last 20 years,
and that's terrifying.
Should scare everyone.
It's terrifying.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's when you just want to go.
Channel mode.
Help, help, Alex Jones was right. Just call out randomly on the radio and hope for help to arrive. Mayday, Alex Jones was right. What do I do?
Stick your head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye, sir.
Oh, damn. I'm not that flexible.
For $9.95, we'll send someone over to your house to do that. Remember, buy your colloidal silver.
Is she hot, and will she be wearing leather?
Oh, those are both extra.
No, in my luck, it'll be Owen Benjamin. Nothing against Owen Benjamin, but if you're going to go it down in a crazy flame of glory, fucking in public's the best way to go.
Is he still going?
Yeah, man, he's around there on the edges.
Does he still have people following and giving him money? Because he was like,
last
time I saw him, he was just melting random shit on a wooden stove in his backyard.
Dude, I pretty much tuned out a couple of years ago when he was telling kids to drink turpentine. You know,
for God's sake.
Yeah, dude, he went some pretty fucking bad areas, man. But I've actually been about 3 months now since I've been at that end of the internet for a while. It's just got fucking insane, man. I mean, really insane.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I mean, when I've gone, nah, I think that's enough. I'm done. You know, they've gone way too far. When I've gone, yeah, I'm out. Fuck this. This is just too crazy, even for me.
Now I'm wondering how many people are going to get the joke about flipping on the Baofeng. Nah, it doesn't matter.
I don't know, dude. There's so many fucking people getting into ham fucking radio at the moment. It's driving me crazy. But each their own.
I'm making an honest effort not to talk about that or 3D printing on the show.
Oh no, dude, I'm giving a shit because everybody's talking about it, man. Like, it is the latest buzz thing.
I thought it was just me and Sard.
I'm talking about some of the other podcasts I listen to.
And it's that, not latest, it goes through cycles. Remember, late 80s, there was the whole hand radio, pirate radio stuff. They made a few movies about it. Then it died down, then again in the early 2000s.
Well, I'm sure you got
a lot of...
It goes
through cycles.
I've got multiple people telling me I need to be watching Stranger Things, because apparently there's a lot of radio in the current season of that, so that's probably driving some of it. Where were we with this?
Next story?
Well, there was more of this.
Ah.
Let's see. Yeah, if they couldn't... they then pushed... read all this. However, while Facebook and Instagram links would allow them to install the official apps, when clicking the WhatsApp link, they would end up installing a malicious version of the legitimate WhatsApp app. That's written very strangely.
So, if it's legitimate, how is it malicious? Don't they mean a malicious version of the WhatsApp link?
I would think they meant that a modified
version. That should be that looks legitimate.
Yeah, there's editors.
They're fucked up.
For fuck's sake, do your job. Google says the malicious apps deployed on the victim's devices weren't available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. However, the attackers sideloaded the iOS version and signed with an enterprise certificate. Well, get that thing revoked. What the fuck? And asked the target to enable the installation of apps from an unknown source. iOS app spotted in these attacks came with several built-in exploits, allowing it to escalate privileges on compromised devices and steal files. Quote, it contains a generic privilege of escalation exploit wrapper, which is used by 6 different exploits. It also contains a minimalist agent capable of exfiltrating interesting files from the device, such as the WhatsApp database, unquote, the analysts explained. There's all the they've got in the article all the CVEs for the exploits. All exploits are used before, quote, all exploits used before 2021 are based on public exploits written by different jailbreaking communities. At the time of discovery, we believe CVE 2021-30883 and CVE 2021-30983 were the 2 0 days, unquote, they added. On the other hand, the malicious Android app came with no bundled exploits. Still, it featured capabilities that would allow it to download and execute additional modules using the DEX class loader. So they just pulled the modules off the internet based on what they wanted for Android. Apparently, Google warned some of the Android victims that their devices were hacked. They're dubbing this Hermit. According to Lookout, Hermit is modular surveillanceware that can record audio and redirect phone calls, as well as collect data and call logs. contacts, photo, device location, SMS messages. Google has also disabled the Firebase project used by the threat actors to set up command and control. In May, Google Tag exposed. Okay, yeah, that's the end of the article there. So, again, the fact that they're contacting the ISP and somehow getting the ISP to work with them on this shit, it's not surprising, but it should be.
I think it's surprising because ISPs, they may be crappy companies, but they're still generally legitimate companies. And this is not something a legitimate company should or would do.
Well, it's how much money did they offer? Did they have a really good story? You know, did they claim to be a police agency? Did they claim to be a government? I mean, we had the article a couple of weeks ago about that, where the malware guys are calling it pretending to be the, you know, fucking FBI to get them to do things.
But you should also verify when the FBI calls you. You know, call the FBI and ask for that agent. Be like, they're expecting my call. Put me through to them.
I mean, if it's big, if it's important enough, the FBI will come see you in person.
Based on my own personal interactions with, now I'm not sure how much of that story I want to tell.
Not much. Just, did they come talk to you in person, or did they call you over the phone?
They did
and
come
say, "I'm the FBI."
They did come talk to us in person. They also made it very clear they didn't know what they were talking about. So it's one of these things
that's
where,
shock.
Yes, I did in fact speak with the FBI, and no, they did not understand what they were talking about.
Imagine my shock.
But they did immediately start asking for hard drive images. So, it's, the full story is hilarious and several years old at this point from an IT standpoint, because it's like, oh my God, you don't know what you're asking for. We ultimately told them, no, that's stupid. But that was that interaction with them. The other time we let them do what they wanted, because that was a different scenario that, those stories get dark. I don't want to go there. You guys want to do the next one? Next article?
Yep. Well,
my interactions with the FBI were, hi, we're the FBI. Here's my badge and the warrant. They did not leave any doubt that they were the FBI. They also had the cops with them.
Well, they had a warrant. So, I mean, there you go.
Like, oh, hi, Mr. FBI man. We're going to be very cooperative. I assure you.
Go for that silver platter policy there.
So I don't see how, you know, a company would not know that they're dealing with the FBI, or possibly mistake, you know, me for the FBI.
People are gullible and stupid.
Not necessarily in that order.
I want to argue with you. I really, really want to. But I think we can move on to the next story.
Yep. Next story. Sorry, I just thought I was being haunted there for a second. Let's see. Next story. This is from The Verge. Microsoft, Meta, and others are founding a Metaverse Open Standards Group. This is interesting to me because I've talked in the past, maybe not on air, but if Metaverse is going to survive, if you know, this whole virtual world concept is going to survive, it's going to be through open standards, sort of like web communications. So you don't want one company like a Facebook, or I guess their name is now Meta, but you don't want them controlling the entire platform. You don't want Google controlling the platform. You want open standards. You want the Apache web server of Metaverse if you want this thing to actually take off and be sustainable.
Amorps, the 90s called. They want your thoughts back.
I'm using them.
Yeah, exactly. Go back to the 90s. It's not going to happen, man. It's going to be one or two companies. They're going to be hooked in with the World Economic Forum. I'll bet that they have somehow tied in with the United Nations, and there'll be a nation, a digital nation of their own with their own laws and rules and shit like that. Because if you haven't read the... Go ahead and read what Meta want to do with the fleshed out idea with what they want. They want to essentially set up their own digital country with their own digital rules and shit like that. Well, and the United Nations are down with it, and so are the World Economic Forum.
Well, I know that they think that they're going to build an entire new platform on top of the internet, call it Metaverse, and just own it all, because they want to supplant Google, because they see Google as owning the legacy internet. But again, like we were talking about before the show, I mean, you don't have to sysop everything, but if you do... Microsoft, Epic Games, Meta, and 33 other companies and organizations have formed a standards group for, quote, Metaverse, unquote, tech. The Metaverse Standards Forum is supposed to foster open, interoperable standards for augmented and virtual reality, geospatial, and 3D tech. According to a press release, the Metaverse Standards Forum will focus on, quote, pragmatic, action-based projects, unquote, like hackathons and prototyping tools for supporting common standards, which is what I ask for with Metaverse. Because if you have common standards, somebody can build an open platform off of it. Will they? Probably not, but it's possible. It's also interested in developing, quote, consistent terminology, unquote, for the space, where many players can't even agree on what a metaverse is. In addition to the companies above, the group's founding members include the major pre-metaverse entities like the World Wide Web Consortium, NVIDIA, Qualcomm's, Sony Interactive Entertainment, and Unity, in addition to newer ones like Lamania One, a blockchain payment startup co-founded by Snow Crash author Neil Stephenson. Well, somebody convinced him to part with some money there, didn't they?
Well, I can tell you what the metaverse is. It's a marketing ploy. It's like a McNugget. A McNugget is a chicken nugget. It's just owned by McDonald's.
You're wrong.
The metaverse is a marketing ploy owned by Facebook.
The metaverse is a fictional concept invented by Neil Stephenson and Snow Crash.
I wonder how much Facebook had to pay to use it then.
Probably not. They probably didn't pay him a damn thing, because I don't think he's pushed any ownership of it. But it was billed as a futuristic version of the internet that was, you know, VR-based. You know, what everyone thought in the 90s, you know, virtual reality would turn into. But it was VR in the internet in one go. And basically, think Second Life mixed with VR chat. That was the metaverse. But people would have, like, sword fights in it, because they could bet on them. And you kind of had some of the Ready Player One stuff, in that the currencies in the metaverse were worth more than the dollar, and you could often pay for stuff with those instead of, you know, dollars. So, but I think, whereas I disagree with you definitionally, I think what Facebook is trying to do with it, you're spot on, and that they're trying to turn it into a brand name. It's missing a few big-name players, though. As Nick Slate of Protocol points out, there's no sign of Apple, which is working on VR and AR tech, Niantic, and Roblox, which have made early strides into blending game and virtual worlds, are also notably absent. I'm not sad about Roblox being absent. I'd rather Roblox have nothing to do with as much as possible.
I'm sad that they're considered a major player in anything.
Dude, go do some research on Roblox. They are scary.
Yeah, they are worth so much.
Because Roblox targeted children with access to their parents' credit cards, and basically built what you and I would call a version of Second Life, with shittier graphics, kids programming games, and the company taking a huge cut of every transaction. And it is insane how much money flows through Roblox. Really, dude, you should go. There were some YouTube documentaries on Roblox and child labor laws and some other stuff like that that are really good. And yeah, they're a little slanted against the company, but it doesn't take much Googling to figure out, oh no, they weren't exaggerating. It's bad. I'm not sad about Roblox being absent. If any, well, I mean, if anything, they wouldn't want to be part of this because it might be tempering on their business practices. Not good. Basically, Roblox is the idea of farming kids with their parents' credit cards taken up to 11 on the amp. You know what I mean? It's bad.
Yeah, I've played some of their games, and they were just remakes of old Atari games that I had played.
But yeah, with your Lego person as a thing, right? So I mean, it's
yeah,
just...
or little toy looking tanks.
So, and okay, for the record, that's my opinion based on what I've read of Roblox. If you're looking for investment opportunities, they're probably great. But from a moral standpoint, I'm taking advantage of kids, man. Come on. More members may end up joining after the group begins operation. It expects to hold its first meetings in 2022. Quote, industry leaders have stated that the potential of the metaverse will be realized if it's built on a foundation of open standards, unquote. The group says in a press release, quote, building a open and inclusive metaverse at a pervasive scale where demand I thought it said something else for a second and I thought I said perverse at a pervasive scale where demand a constellation of open interoperability standards, unquote. The metaverse is a catch-all term for virtual worlds, VR and AR, and many of its subfields are in many of its subfields already have standards bodies, some of which have joined the metaverse standards forum. Open standards don't necessarily mean companies will create the metaverse as an interlinked space like the World Wide Web. Epic describes its game Fortnite as a self-contained metaverse, for example. I would disagree with Epic on that because it's a game. It's not... Well, they've got a currency system. They've got a system of interaction. I mean, I guess by a fairly loose definition, you could call Fortnite a metaverse. Open standards would simply make it easier for developers to build the same content for different platforms or users to export data from one service to another. No, no, sir. That is not... You're not building the same content for different platforms. Open standards means different platforms have the ability to talk to each other. It means that my web browser can talk to my web server, whether it was an Apache web server, an Nginx web server, or a Microsoft web server, or if you want to get esoteric, an IBM web server, or a Java web server. It's not Sun anymore. It's Oracle. Or any number of other random-ass web servers out there, and that my Chrome-based or Firefox-based or any other based web browser you want to use. What's the other one? I have forgotten the open, fuck it. You know what I mean? Chromium, not Chrome, whatever. Chromium based, Firefox based, or the, I have forgotten the name of the open source project that Chromium is based off of. It doesn't matter. That's the point of an open standard, is that if I write something to that standard, it will work with the system, even if it's cross-platform, even if it's not owned by the same company. That is what it needs to have if you're going to have anything metaverse last long-term. Otherwise, it's Second Life. It's all contained within one company. Well, Second Life open sourced some of their stuff, so maybe that's not the best example. Well, it's Fortnite then. Okay. If Epic doesn't release a Fortnite client for your platform, because you were, pick a platform, you're running a modern version of Amiga OS or something, right? If Epic doesn't release a version of the Fortnite client for that, you're not playing Fortnite on it. Not unless you've got an emulator or something to make it think it's something else. So if you have an open standard, though, anybody who could write a client to connect to the servers from whatever, yeah, this author doesn't understand why open standards are important. Nevertheless, the forum suggests an interest in formalizing metaverse development as a unified field, and it hints at which companies are most interested in creating acceptable standard for it, or at least which ones want to be perceived as supporting the standards. Actually, you know, I was joking about Second Life a lot, but that's a company I'd like to see. Linden Labs should probably be involved in this because they've got the, you know, some experience in building something like a metaverse. I'm looking now. Let's see. Founding members include OX Senses, Academy Software Foundation, Adobe, Alibaba, Autodesk, Avatar, spelled with two A's, Blackshark.ai, never heard of them, CalConnect, Cessium, Dolly Realism, Discuss, the Innosmia Foundation. Now, that right there sounds like a frickin' end up, you know, no New World Order kind of thing. The Insomnia Foundation. That's a good one. I mean, they need to be in an oak-lined room filled with bookcases, drinking, you know, bourbon and smoking cigars. That's what it sounds like to me. Epic Games, the Express Language Foundation, Huawei, IKEA, John Petty Research, Kronos, Lambda One, Maxon, Meta, Microsoft, NVIDIA, OpenAR Cloud, and the Open Geospatial Consortium, Otoy, Perret Research and Consulting, Qualcomm Technologies, Ribos, Sony Interactive Entertainment, Spatial Web Foundation, Unity, VerseMaker, Wayfail, and the Web3D Consortium, the World Wide Web Consortium, and the XR Association. So, yeah, Linden Labs should probably get in on this since, you know, they kind of pioneered a lot of this stuff back in the day.
Do you think it's going to end up being everyone but Google attempting to team up against Google?
No, I think it's going to, I think we're probably going to see several competing standards show up. And whichever one gets the most support on the broadest base will be the one that wins. So Apple will develop their own because, of course, they will. Google will develop their own because, of course, they will.
Well, sounds like Apple was going with this standard.
Apple's not in it.
Not?
No.
I thought they were on the list.
No, the article was complaining that they weren't on the list.
Ah.
No, I could see Apple making their own because, I mean, they're pushing their own silicon for desktop machines right now. You know, they just put out what the M2 and then was it the M1 Max or M1 Ultra, whatever that was they just put out. They're also, Google's going to do their own because Google does their own of everything. They've got, Google has serious not invented here problems when it comes to, Not so much standards and protocols, but they're overarching products. So, you know, they have to do their own version of everything. Sounds like Microsoft is going to work with Facebook or Meta on this standards platform. So, I don't know, but Microsoft doesn't have as much pullback as they used to back in the day. Because most stuff is going on mobile platforms. I mean, even the Oculus Quest, it's Android based, but that's mostly Facebook stuff these days. Well, Meta. So, but they've got the market share on the headset market. But even then, their own metaverse or Meta Worlds, I forget what they call their platform, it's, you know, Microsoft has got their, I forgot the name of the platform. I've used it a couple of times now. Microsoft has their own VR Worlds platform, but none of them have the user base that VR Chat does. So, I don't know. You know, it's all up in the air. It's kind of a crapshoot at the moment. Next article is from South China Morning Post. China bans over 30 live streaming behaviors, demands qualifications to discuss law, finance, and medicine. So China has issued new regulation on the live streaming industry that lists 31 banned behaviors, raising the bar for influencers to talk about certain topics in the government's latest effort to regulate the booming digital economy. The 18-point guideline published by the National Radio and Television Administration and the Ministry of Culture and Tourism on Wednesday requires influencers to have relevant qualifications to discuss some topics, such as law, finance, medicine, and education, although authorities did not specify the qualifications needed. Well, it's China. The qualifications needed are permission from the government. The 31 banned behaviors during live streaming sessions include publishing content that weakens or distorts the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party, the socialist system, or the country's reforms and opening up. Other prohibited behaviors include using deepfake technologies to tamper with the images of party or state leaders and deliberately, quote, hyping up, unquote, sensitive issues and attracting public attention. Isn't attacking public attention exactly what you're supposed to do if you're a live streamer?
I have trouble with the hyping, simply because is reporting on something hyping it?
It's nebulous and undefined, so it's a whim law.
Exactly. It's not, if they don't want you reporting on it, then that law will apply.
Yeah, here's the fun part. Live streamers are also forbidden from showing an extravagant lifestyle, such as displaying luxury products and cash, the guidelines said. Notice they don't have a definition of luxury products. If you're not streaming from a hut in the countryside of China with a dirt floor and a grass wall behind you. The new regulation comes as the live streaming e-commerce industry is undergoing rapid changes amid tightening scrutiny and economic headwinds. Some of the most popular live streamers on Taobao Live, Alibaba Group Holdings' live streaming e-commerce platform, have fallen from grace for various reasons, leaving brands scrambling looking for new ways to market their products. Alibaba owns the South China Morning Post. I do like when the articles disclose that the person they're talking about owns the newspaper. It's like, yeah, that means they took the worst of this out and put that line in instead. Austin Lee Jackie, known as China's lipstick king, for once selling 15,000 tubes of lipstick in just 5 minutes, abruptly ended a live streaming session on June the 3rd after he reportedly displayed a tank-shaped ice cream. Okay. The tank image is a frequent target of Chinese censors due to its association with the deadly Tiananmen Square crackdown.
Tiananmen Square.
By China's military against pro-democracy protesters in Beijing, June 4th, 1989. Huang Wei, widely known as Vaya, was fined a record 1.3 billion won, which is about $210 million, for tax evasion last year, and has since disappeared from public view. This claimed after Zhu Xinhe and Lin Zexuan, Xuanxuan? I fail at Chinese names. That's not. I'm not trying to insult them. I just don't know how to say them. What was that? Are you?
Bing chong bing bong.
Yeah, there you go.
Done.
Two top influencers were each fined tens of millions of won in November for tax evasion. Also saw their social media accounts and e-commerce shops vanish. Yep, they got disappeared off to the gulags with you. Wednesday's new guidelines stress that live streamers should declare their income honestly and fulfill their tax obligations in accordance with the law. I'm not sure with Taobao, but I know a lot of these live streaming platforms, they don't make that easy to estimate what it's going to be. Often these guys don't know what their income is till they get it. So I bet that's part of the problem, is that the reporting is just confusing and people are making mistakes.
Yeah.
The rules also direct platforms to refrain from giving public figures who have violated the law or shown, quote, no ethics, unquote, the opportunity to express their opinions publicly, hold performances, or create new accounts or switch to another platform. Yeah, no ethics. The government has deemed you not ethical. You are not allowed to speak.
Really? Well, that one, that can at least show it. Have you been convicted of fraud?
Really hope.
Because I could understand not wanting Bernie Madoff giving financial advice.
Just,
I don't know, man. Just because he committed fraud doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's talking about.
I'm just going to say, I hope China doesn't win in the long run. Just saying. And RU knows exactly what I mean.
I don't think it's about picking winners or losers at this point, Morps. I'll just leave that there. Really? Is anyone going to fucking win out of all this?
Oh, some lawyers probably will.
I think you're not thinking long term enough.
Oh, somebody who owns a lot of weapons probably will then. If you're going that long term.
2040. That's about as long term as I'm willing to make a decision or a call.
We're speculating about World War III if anybody didn't get the gag.
Oh, I don't even think we'll get to World War III. It is just going to collapse into a giant fucking heap the minute the stock market goes, dude. We can't do another bailout. It doesn't work. I've calculated it. It can't be done. And if you you really want to crunch some numbers, crunch the numbers on everybody driving electric vehicles by 2030, and then tell me how much resources we have to strip mine out of the third world to make that happen.
Well, between the battery,
the windmills and solar panels.
Between the batteries and what it would take to power them? Yeah, that's not
Dude, just
work.
Do the numbers. Just do the numbers. 300 million cars. And that would just do North America. You know what I mean? Say 300 million, and that's a pullback from the amount you actually need.
Well, I mean, if you want to go full Alex Jones, you know, you have to realize that the people in charge don't expect there to be 300 million solar cars. They expect it to be the numbers, whatever they were on the Georgia Guidestones. I forgot now. It's like 100,000 people or something like that.
Yeah, I don't go by that one. I'm just actually playing in the realms of reality. And if you crunch the numbers for this green thing they want to do, and we're already at an energy crisis right now, we ain't making it to 2030 before the lights go out. And when the lights go out and the food gets short, governments tend to change.
So you were saying ham radio is a bad idea before? Because...
No, I didn't say they're a bad idea. I just said I'm sick of fucking hearing about them. Because everybody I know or listen to is in the same camp as me, called reality, and they've done the fucking numbers, and they know what's coming. Okay?
I couldn't help that one. Sorry.
Also, too, now that the crypto market's collapsed, shop around for a new graphics card.
Yeah,
there's a shit ton going cheap right now.
What is Bitcoin currently at?
I think it's had
up.
A couple of days.
It's come up.
Not by much, though.
21,000.
Yeah, so is Dogecoin's up, too, in the last couple of days. But, they're up and down, dude. It's like a honeymoon effect.
Next article is from Business Insider. Amazon is working on a creepy feature that will enable Alexa to speak in your dead relative's voice.
Nope.
A recent trend last year allowed users to animate photos of people, which was majorly being used to animate pictures of dead friends and family members. No, I don't believe you. Most of those I saw were people animating... Well, Hitler, now that I think about it. Most of them were just animations of Hitler saying weird shit. I probably am on weird parts of the internet. Anyways, while some people would find this feature comforting, a lot of people found it creepy. If this was not creepy enough for you, Amazon is working on a feature that will enable Alexa to speak in your dead relative's voice. Yes, you read that right. Alexa will soon answer your queries in your dead relative's voice. Amazon has revealed it is working on this feature at Amazon's ReMars, Machine Learning Automation Robots in Space conference. Amazon has said it wants to, quote, make memories last, unquote. It is working on a system that will allow its voice assistant to mimic any voice after hearing the audio of a person speaking for less than a minute.
Oh, God, I don't want Alexa to sound like my father.
Okay.
Fucking creepy.
That point aside, because you're right, that would be fucking creepy to have anybody's dead relative, you know, I could only imagine having one of these voice assistants sounding like like one of your parents. I mean, it's just, ugh. But,
Dude, this is a Black Mirror episode. There's an episode, I think it was season 2, where the woman's partner dies, her husband. So she gets the artificial voice, and it's him talking on the phone. And then that's not enough. So she upgrades to, like, the image talking. And that's not enough. And then she orders the robot. The life version of her dead husband.
Oh, that's only a little creepy.
Yeah, well, this is how it started, man.
Well, where I was going to go with it was a different direction. Okay, they're billing this. Oh, so you can hear your grandmother's voice again, or whatever BS marketing they're putting on it. This is so they can blackmail people. You know, if we can mimic your voice after hearing you speak for less than a minute, we can get any random-ass phone recording or anytime you're just using the thing, and now we've got your voice. I mean, I'm fairly certain Disney has already, you know, filed copyright on the likenesses. Basically, all the Star Wars people, they've de-aged. Probably a bunch of other stuff, too. But Star Wars is the one that comes to mind where they've been de-aging people and having, you know, the characters from dead actors showing up in movies. You know, Leia in Rogue One being an easy example.
Yeah.
Because now they've got it as a digital asset, so you think they're not copywriting that shit?
I think actors, as in a personal field, is almost dead.
So, I'm just... This is not going to be used for hearing Grandma one more time. This is going to be used for something darker. While announcing the feature, Rohit Prasad, Senior Vice President, Alexa team, said that while artificial intelligence cannot emulate or eliminate the pain of losing loved ones, quote, it can definitely make the memories last, unquote.
Yeah, but that's not how humans grieve and get over things, dude. That's holding on to stuff. It's not healthy. I'm not going to morally judge it, but I just think, fuck.
Prasad then played a video in which a child asks Alexa, can Grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz, unquote. Alexa then complies by saying, okay, and then starts reading in the child's grandmother's voice. Oh, and you're showing it to children. You think that's not going to fuck some people? The therapists are going to be the business to be in a couple of years. I'll tell you what. At the moment, it's not clear what stage the feature is right now, and Amazon has not revealed the timeline for the rollout. Apart from it may creep some people out, the upcoming feature also has security ramifications. It may be possible to misuse this feature and others' voices. It could be misused, allowing people to use the voices of celebrities or people without their consent. Also, could be a neat way for Amazon to get around having to pay celebrities to lend their voice to Alexa. So... yeah, that's going to be a thing.
Oh, Alexa, can you read me erotic fiction with Betty White?
Dude, I don't think you're going to have to get an AI to do that. I think you could probably just get Betty White to do that.
Wait, is she dead now?
Did she die? I think she did.
Yeah, I think she's dead.
Yeah, I can see this thing being used for terrible things. Apart from, hey, you don't like someone that you... on the internet, hey, you found where they work. Now use their voice to ring their boss and insult them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she
died. What did you call me? What do you mean? I didn't call yesterday. Yes, you did.
Yeah, Betty White died in December of last year. So, okay. But yeah, I definitely see that fucking with people. So.
Oh, Bill Cosby, can you read me 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, that would be a perfect one.
I really wanted to do a Bill Cosby impression there, but then I realized I don't know any of the lines from 50 Shades, so I didn't know what to say.
I'm not
going to
hold that against you, Morps.
It's like, oh, I don't want to Google that, because then it'll be in my history.
Yeah, this is a bad idea.
Well, yeah, because it's not going to be Bill Cosby. It's going to be you screwing with somebody by saying, hey... have their grandmother read 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
No, if I'm going to have your grandmother read anything, it's going to be the Marquis de Sade. We're going straight to the source.
Oh, dude.
Jesus.
Talk about some old school.
Yeah.
I think you're going to need a companion thesaurus to go with that, Batman.
I mean, why is your pain more important than my pleasure?
Alexa, read Machiavelli's The Prince in the voice of Madman's father.
No, Dad would have gotten a kick out of that one. If you want to freak people out, it's Machiavelli's The Prince. being read by the Toys R Us kids.
No, for God's sake.
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck.
And if you want to do Mind Cop, it's got to be the Mickey Mouse Club.
No, that's when you do go celebrity voices. You say, Alexa, read to me Mein Kampf in Britney Spears' voice.
He was a member of the Mickey Mouse Club, so do you want 9-year-old Britney or do you want the pop star Britney? 9-year-old Britney would be Mickey Mouse Club.
9-year-old would be way worse, wouldn't it?
Yep, same thing with Christina Aguilera, also a Mickey Mouse Club member. A lot of those became whores.
I'm trying to decide if it's disturbing that you know that or not. I'm of two minds.
I'm just putting it down to Madman's variety of knowledge on a lot of things and leave it at that, Morps.
All right. Well, let's go to the next story. This is actually one that Madman sent me. It's from CNN. A group of drivers for Uber and Lyft on Tuesday accused the companies of unfairly controlling how much passengers are charged for rides in an antitrust lawsuit in a California state court. The lawsuit seeking class action status in San Francisco Superior Court alleged violations of California antitrust law and state law prohibiting unfair business practices. The drivers claimed that they were able to offer lower prices to consumers, or if they were able to offer lower prices to consumers, it would provide drivers with, quote, the most competitive compensation, unquote. Quote, by preventing drivers from doing so, Uber and Lyft harm competition in both the labor market as well as the consumer market, unquote, the complaint alleged. Consumers pay more and drivers earn less. An Uber spokesperson said in a statement that the complaint misconstrues both the facts and the applicable law, and we intend to defend ourselves accordingly, because of course they said that. A representative from Lyft did not immediately respond to messages seeking comment. Uber and Lyft label their drivers as independent contractors and not employees, and the centerpiece of many legal challenges in recent years in state and federal courts across the country. The plaintiff drivers in the new lawsuit contend that Uber and Lyft, quote, deprive those drivers of economic independence, unquote, by fixing the prices that drivers must charge. The drivers are represented by Denver-based Towards Justice and Eldest Edelson plaintiff's firm. Quote, for a decade, Uber and Lyft have been trying to have it both ways, unquote, Rachel Dempsey of Towards Justice told Reuters. Quote, they are trying to avoid the responsibilities of an employer while also maintaining a level of control over the transaction that is inconsistent with the idea that these drivers are independent contractors, unquote. The drivers named as plaintiffs in the lawsuit previously opted out of arbitration agreements with Uber and Lyft, allowing them to contest employment-related matters in court. Most companies make that really fucking difficult to opt out of those arbitration agreements. So that's interesting that they say they did. I mean, so are they saying Uber and Lyft are colluding and fixing prices? Is that the claim?
That's kind of the claim. And they're also trying to make the claim that because the independent contractors aren't able to throw up their own rates, then they're not truly independent contractors. They're kind of making two arguments. So if they were truly independent contractors, even though Morps and I are both for Lyft, if I want to say, I will take you someplace for $1.50 a mile and Morps is set at $2 a mile, I should be able to compete against him. In addition, I should be able to compete against Lyft for my service for Lyft paying me more than Uber might be willing to pay me. But right now,
well, yeah, because if I'm Uber and Lyft, if I'm a contractor, I get to set my rate, and if the company doesn't like my rate, they just don't hire me.
Yeah, and these contractors can't set their rate, and they're also arguing that Uber and Lyft are setting their rates so close together that I can't make more money by just switching who I'm driving for.
Yeah.
Now, on that second point, they're going to have trouble at least nationally proving collusion. I don't know if California has anything special, but it's not considered collusion if I look at my competitor and see what they're charging and charge the same amount.
Well, you know they're doing that.
It's only collusion if I get together with my competitor and say, we're going to charge this amount.
Hmm. I mean, yeah, you know these guys are, I mean, you know they're looking at each other.
Yeah.
And try to determine market rates, so.
That's why if you look at pizza places, the national brands, like Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's, they're not that different from each other.
No, but now you're going to make me hungry. I'm going to have to get something to eat here soon.
But that's effectively what Uber and Lyft are doing on their side with the pricing. Now, I don't think they have an argument on that point, or at least not one that would be easily proven. I think they have a good argument on the point of they're not treating us as independent contractors. They're treating us as employees and then trying to get away with not offering us the benefits of employees or the security of employees. Because if I'm truly an independent contractor, I get to set my rate. And they're not letting their drivers set their own rates.
That's probably, there's probably some truth to that one. Any thoughts on that, RU, before we move on?
No, I'm good.
Next article is from Tom's Hardware. Mars probe running old OS gets patches. So this Mars probe is still running Windows 98. And I guess they got Microsoft to write some patches for it. The latest and probably not the last tale of old software running in mission-critical applications come to us via the Twitter feed of guitar-playing Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield. The European Space Agency's Mars Express probe, currently in orbit around the Red Planet, is doing just fine and had a major software update to increase its chances of discovering water. In 2003, the Mars Express and its MARSIS, Mars Advanced Radar for Subsurface and Ionosphere Sounding Water Probe, naturally had software developed using one of the major operating systems at the time, Windows 98. And that's how we discovered there's a computer that's probably capable of running Doom in orbit over Mars. notable not so much for its abundance of alien life, but as being the setting for id Software. They really want to load Doom on this thing, just for the meme. ESA's blog on the subject doesn't go into a great deal of detail, particularly regarding the frame rates we could expect of Doom on the Mars Express or how large a screen it has. Quote, not because the latest Mars software was originally designed 20 years ago using a development environment based on Windows 98, the blog reads. We do know, however, that the favorite processors used by NASA are based on the Apple Mac G3 and its single-core PowerPC 750-233 chip from the Bondi Blue iMac. There are at least two trundling around Mars in the form of the Curiosity and I didn't know that these things were running the old G3 PowerPC chips. The Curiosity and Perseverance rovers are running G3s. I mean, that's kind of cool. I didn't know that. Technically, it's called the RAD 750 because it's radiation hardened. It's also found in the Kepler and Fermi space telescopes. G3s weren't noted for their abilities to run Windows 98. So for the X86 kit, we had to look into the Hubble Space Telescope, which was running a 25 megahertz 80486 CPU during a 1999 servicing mission, replacing a 386. Damn, I didn't realize that's what the Hubble had in it. That's like nothing these days.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so they're saying on the Mars Express they expect it to be a Pentium 90. So, yeah, Doom, Ultima 7, Wing Commander. So but back to the software update. Seems the new code for the probe includes a series of upgrades that improve signal reception and onboard data processing. It's interesting because they're going on about the old 90s games this thing could play, but it means somebody is maintaining that development environment so they can still update these things every once in a while. Which is cool.
And yeah, you got to think, it's not just when it was put out, but when these things were designed, because it took them decades to go through procurement for the cost, and then design, and then building.
Well, they made a point of saying that the chip they're running is radiation hardened. So yeah, they would have to take an existing design and figure out what do we do to make it radiation resistant, right? So that alone would be a big deal. So yeah, I mean, I imagine if I need a radiation hardened chip, I'm not getting the latest and greatest. It's going to be something that's been in the pipe for a while, you know? Last article I have for tonight is from TechCrunch. NASA taps three companies to design nuclear power plants for the moon. There's not really much to read in the article other than just NASA's doing that. So, anybody think they're going to make the moon bases public? Or?
Yeah, they've already got public designs up. And a window of when they want to get them started.
But yeah, they've got winning bids from Lockheed Martin, Westinghouse, and IX, a joint venture from Intuitive Machines and X Energy.
Oh, yeah, gravity has our cooling systems for the nuclear reactors on Earth are gravity-focused and water. There's not a lot of water on the moon, and the gravity's less. I wonder if how much the size difference in the moon would affect cooling on our nuclear reactor.
Well, let me read some of the article here because they touch on that. Each will be working with a few partners to develop their systems, which will be, quote, initial concepts, unquote, only for the purposes of satisfying this particular contract. They will each receive roughly $5 million for their work, expected to take about 12 months. NASA is aptly partnering with the Department of Energy on this project, and the specs include a 40-kilowatt power generation capability capable of generating that for at least a decade. That's about what a full charge on a current entry-level Nissan Leaf contains, but it's as a fission generator to obviously provide that continuously. May not seem like much, but deployed singularly or in groups to support a lunar base, it could solve a lot of the challenges that kind of... Well, yeah, I mean, if you're smart with your design, you don't actually need a hell of a lot of power just to maintain a base. Conditions on the moon and Mars, for that matter, exaggerate a lot of the same challenges we face with other sources like solar here on Earth. Namely, they have to be able to operate consistently regardless of the availability of sunlight and in harsh environments. NASA also notes that the work done on this contract could have other future applications for propulsion systems for long-range spacecraft. So that's cool.
Yeah. I would skip trying to design low gravity and go straight for zero gravity just for the spaceship advantage.
Well, then that and everything you design for zero gravity should work with some gravity for the most part. I guess it would depend on your design, but I would expect it to. If you're designing it expecting... Well, I guess if you design it not knowing what gravity is going to be, just you know, saying, hey, gravity can't be a factor in this. So... Looking at the clock, we need to speed things up. Are you anything on this before we move on?
No, I'm good.
Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. I don't know why I just did a hand gesture, because nobody can see it but me. The first is from a GitHub link. It's on Saif Al-Samani's page. It's a tool called GIP, Google IP Search. Pretty much, it's an HTML page that you can download, run locally. It's got some JavaScript in it that generates a Google search. But here's the fun part. It strips the results back to only URLs that originate from IP addresses, not domains. So it's particularly useful for Google dorking looking for web servers that probably shouldn't be on the internet. Or at least things that are responding on both IP and domain name. So it's if you know, you get why that's fun. If you don't, you might just be confused about it. But pretty much it's a way of trying to find things that have been indexed by Google that aren't...
Like foundries that shouldn't be on the internet because no one should be able to dump 100 gallons of molten lead.
Well, there's that. There's also just servers that are public that don't have a domain registered to them, or things that are responding on IP addresses.
Oh, webcams, like security cameras for houses
and routers, IP-enabled webcams, file servers, and hundreds of other things. But yes, it is an interesting method of Google dorking. So it's a useful little tool and definitely worth playing with. I was playing with it earlier and had some interesting results.
Any share folders on your computer that shouldn't be out on the internet?
No, but I was searching some company names that were of interest to see what I could find, and there's some documents floating around that were amusing. So there's that one. And the NSA has put out a cybersecurity information document on how to use PowerShell how to harden PowerShell and use it to actually improve the security of Windows boxes, which I thought was interesting. I mean, yeah, it's coming from the NSA, right? But they've got some good stuff. They've got some good articles sourced here, and they've got a little bit of information linked up. So it's worth at least looking at the PDF, right?
Building a back door for us.
Yeah, there's that. That's kind of my first thought, too, is like, except for the one thing they told you not to fix, right? Or just
exactly,
didn't acknowledge. But, I mean, it's a good start. It's something. So I thought it was interesting. It's definitely worth a read. It's not very long. And, but yeah, I mean, it's a CIS benchmark. So, I mean, it's a good thing to have. But that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it, Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit in the IRC. Tonight, CyberLard, Psychros, Madman, and myself. Madman, closing thoughts.
Will you ever figure out who actually owns this channel now that it's been branched and reset?
I think I know who owns it, but they haven't been on in a bit, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. I'd like to get it registered, but worst case, especially because LibreChat and it's not Freenode anymore. It's, it's LibreChat and then, the interface on top of it have been having issues, so it might be worth exploring alternatives. I'd like to keep it IRC. I don't want to like move to a Discord or some bullshit like that. I'd rather keep it something a little bit more controllable.
Old school is what I'm usually thinking. IRC
well,
is
in our control and not governed by others' rules.
Maybe I'll just set up a BBS server and be done with it. I mean, run my own. You know, why not? Are you closing thoughts?
Had something and then it disappeared, but either way, just do the math. Just do the math for cobalt alone on the batteries, okay? And then try and picture the numbers in football fields and cubes, and then tell me 2030 we'll all be driving electric vehicles. Which country are we strip mining? That's what I want to know.
Oh, one of the African ones, of course.
I'm now just thinking if I set up a BBS for G15, I'd have to run it on a Commodore 64.
Well, you'd finally have use for that hardware.
There you go.
It'd be hilarious. It would
finish running the antennas first, one project at a time.
But he's already put in a Commodore on the internet. He knows how to do it.
The network card had more processing power than the computer, but yes, I did have a Commodore on the internet. Thank you very much.
I know. You pointed it out to me, and I'm like, why? And the answer was, so I can do this. And I still didn't know why after I watched what you did.
I think I was talking in a chat room. No, I was loading disks over the internet. That's what it was. It was also fun screwing with one of those fake Microsoft. Oh, you have a virus on your computer, scammers. It's like, wait, which computer? The one you're on now. It's like, wait, what? It's like, what do you mean, which computer? You know, and the guy goes, what do you mean, which computer? I have like 30 in the house. He goes, the one you're on now. The computer in front of me. Yes. The Commodore 64. Yes, you have a virus in your Windows on your Commodore 64. He obviously didn't know what it was. I'm like, dude, I want to meet the virus author that wrote a Windows virus that runs on a fucking Commodore 64. He goes, oh, yes, you have that. Can I remote into it? It's like, what? You want to remote
in? You can try.
Into a Commodore? Yes, you need to go to this website. So you don't know what it is. I made the guy Google what a Commodore was, and he hung up on me. I'm like, look it up. Look what a Commodore 64 is. He Googled it, and I just heard something in Hindi, and he hung up. I'm sure he was cussing me. Mainly because I wasted like 5 minutes of his time. Which is the best thing to do, by the way. I mean, it's great to mess with these scammers if you can. The problem is that mostly they're using auto dialers these days and bots. Like, you very rarely get a person on the other end when they waste your time, but yeah, it just waste their time and make it not worth making random phone calls to people all damn day.
Yeah, but the longer you spend with them, the less chance they get to an old person.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
I got nothing else. You guys got anything, or I need to start playing sound effects?
We're good with sound effects.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
For alarm, grasp the nearest oxygen mask and put it over your nose and mouth immediately. There is no cause for alarm. Breathe normally. Use the strap on your mask to keep it in place. There is no cause for alarm.
I'll pass it out.